Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our life to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We are live on a Wednesday afternoon, kind of funky. I do realize that, but you know, sometimes you got to move one thing around to slip that in, to fit that in, and yada, yada, yada. Here we are on a Wednesday afternoon on hump day. Hopefully everybody's having a good week. I know I'm having a pretty good week. I don't know why I had that weird pause, but I did. Anyway, we are back to talk boxing, of course. What else are we going to talk about this last weekend? We'll start the show with recap with Usyk and Bivol returning. Did their opponents win a round? I don't think so. So obviously on paper, they look to be stay busy fights. That's exactly what they were. Usyk trying to adjust to the new weight class at heavyweight. So we'll talk about that. Not a whole lot to talk about. We're not going to go round by round by round by round. However, this weekend we have a great fight coming up, a unification at light heavyweight between Vostik and Beterbiev. I don't know, but either way, I'm excited for this fight, no doubt about it. Should be a really, really good fight. And this is debatable, don't get me wrong. You can argue it, but I think you can argue that this light heavyweight unification on regular ESPN. We're not talking about ESPN Plus. I think it's the best fight they've probably put on paper anyway. You know, maybe, you know, Vostik does outbox him, outskill him. We'll see. But on paper, this has got to be one. I mean, people thought Lomachenko and Rigo was the best matchup in, you know, pound for pound wise. It was probably the best matchup for ESPN. They've had some good matchups, don't get me wrong, but it's over 2 years now. It's 2 years and change. I think it started a Top Rank ESPN deal. And that's what I'm talking about, the Top Rank ESPN. Not the best fight ever on ESPN, but it's right up there as far as best matchup. I'd probably have to say it may. Anyway, we'll talk about that. We'll preview the weekend just in general, but definitely focus on Beterbiev and Vostik. There is a variety of news. Tyson Fury, you know, we saw Tyson Fury. Oh, look, Tyson Fury is ringside at a WWE event. Oh, look, Tyson's in the ring. What do you know? Oh, he's got a fight. He signed a contract. Is it a one fight deal or is there more? We'll give you a little bit more thoughts and detail on that. But Tyson Fury, WWE, he's got a fight announced, or at least a wrestling match to announce. So that's kind of crazy. Speaking of crazy, Spence, horrific car crash, somehow, some way comes out virtually unscathed. I mean, don't tell that to his teeth, but wow, I still can't believe it. Shit, it's almost been a week already. I suppose technically it was Thursday morning, but really Wednesday night if you're out, you know what I mean? So it's almost been 7 days since that horrific car crash. It's just horrible. I couldn't believe it, the car crash, but obviously Spence miraculously made it through. Wow, I can't believe it. We can now look and go, holy crap, you know, he somersaulted his Ferrari and kind of go, oh, almost chuckle. But, you know, the days after, it seemed very, very serious. Obviously, it was very serious. But we'll talk a little bit about that. Patrick Day updates. Unfortunately, Patrick Day sustained a, you know, very bad injury, traumatic injury, in a fight from last weekend. There was a fight announced. Speaking of just keeping it in the ESPN realm, there was a triple header announced for December 14th. We knew that it was going to happen, but it's always nice when it becomes official. And there's some other news and notes that we'll talk about on the show. And you know what? I forgot to tell people that the show's on. Everyone probably thinks, he's just going to skip this week or something like that. Okay. Whoops. I almost forgot. All right. So, like I said, we will talk, you know, a fair amount of that Volshtik Beterbiev fight. We'll definitely look at some other stuff going out there. But before we get into recap, if this is your first time listening to the Ropadope Radio podcast, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropadope radio. So you can find it here, right? It archives, it streams live. It's here. However, if you don't listen to your podcast, just that Blog Talk, like a lot of people don't, it's available on iTunes, aka Apple Podcasts, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found all across the board, including iHeartRadio. In fact, you can use your Siri or Alexa through Spotify or TuneIn to find the Ropadope Radio Podcast or the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast. Why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.net? That's thegruelingtruth.net. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu. That's betnow.eu. They have a promo code TGT, as in the Grueling Truth. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. It's boxing, it's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's everything in between. And real quick, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you already have cut the cord and you're just not happy, you're a sports fan and you need to see all this stuff, you know, football's in full swing, baseball's winding down, whole lot of stuff, basketball's kicking in here very soon, same with hockey, you should maybe take a look at AT&T TV Now. It's a cable streaming service. They do have a 7-day free trial. However, they don't have any, you know, annual contract. The plans start as low as $50, HBO included. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. Try AT&T TV Now. Like I said, it's a streaming cable service. And, you know, I use it myself, so I'm not just blowing smoke, although I do blow some smoke here and there, if you know what I'm saying. I put it in the air. Anyway, we're going to get to this weekend and all that good stuff, but let's start by just talking a little bit about, you know, Bivol and Usyk. We'll start with Dmitry Bivol, who his resume is pretty damn good considering where he's at in his career. That Jean Pascal victory late last year is looking better now, right? After Pascal, he made it the full 12 rounds, which of late isn't that tough to do with Bivol, it seems. But, you know, having that big win over Brown definitely bumps that up. But, you know, he faced this Castillo. What is it? Lennon Castillo. I want to say I've seen him a couple times, or at least once or twice. Was it PBC cards, FS1? Or maybe it's Showbox. Maybe it's a combination of both. I guess we were having issues right away with the switchboard, but I don't think the show was in range just yet. So you can call back. I see some people popping in. 646-381-4990 is the number to call. You know, Bivol has this thing of he's a technician. He's going to win the rounds. If you show some weakness, he's going to exploit it. But he's happy just to win rounds, and there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of people kind of hyped him up maybe too much on the way up. Not that it's been that long since he's been on the way up, right? But I don't know. He's just a solid fighter, and I really think it'll come down to, you know, who he's fighting, to be honest with you, and to see if they can bring stuff out of him. I think that's going to be key. Can they bring stuff out of him? Because that's what it seems like. That's what type of fighter he is. You know, he's a guy that's going to stay within his technique, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, if you're trying to, you know, create a bunch of attention, especially when you're on, you know, fighting on an app, you got to do what you got to do, of course. But I don't know. You know, to me, he was winning all the rounds, obviously cleanly. He just wasn't landing a whole lot of flush shots. He was using, of course, his jab and right hand. He was jabbing to the stomach very well. Lead rights, or like I said, the jab right hand. He does have a way of landing that right hand pretty accurately. He's just a good, solid fighter. Not a great defender, but very patient. Like I said, very accurate and whatnot. So, you know, it is what it is. I thought it was a good performance. You know, obviously, it was just an opponent that was just an opponent. You know, there wasn't much more to really take in when it comes to that. But he moves on, and hopefully he gets a nice, you know, a decent fight coming up. But we'll see, you know, over on DAZN, the light heavyweight stuff, they may have to do some sort of deal to get him there, maybe with, you know, the winner of the ESPN fight. Or shit, I mean, if we're being honest, even the loser. Wouldn't be anything wrong with that unless, you know, one of them got concussion punched and you figure, well, maybe you don't want to go from concussion punch right into the ring. You know what I mean? But overall, you know, he got the job done. As far as Usyk, we know he's adjusting to the heavyweight division after dominating the cruiserweights in the World Boxing Super Series. And before that as well, had some key wins, no doubt about it. And, you know, making that adjustment, it usually isn't all made in one fight. I think that's fair to say, right? It'll probably take another, maybe another. But they're talking about, well, he's the mandatory for the winner of Joshua and Ruiz. So they don't even want to mess around. They want to get right to it. Now, could there be some step-aside money in there? I think you could make an argument for it. Sure, there might be some step-aside money that they could calm him down on and not get the fight next. But as far as how he looked, though, well, I want to say 9,000 people, whatever it was, 9,000 plus, almost 10,000, I believe. Was it 9,700? I don't remember. But either way, that's a huge positive. We need some more Midwest venues. Obviously, the Minneapolis Armory, who's supposedly going to announce a card here very soon for December. Their fifth card of the year. So we got that stuff popping. It'd be nice to get Chicago involved. You know, I think it's a city that's just underused. It's just waiting for, you know, a spark, basically. Maybe this is, you know, the spark. DAZN's been there. Is this their third time or second time? I guess their third time. So that was good. You saw some, you know, the Ukrainian peeps out. Of course, the Polish are strong there. In fact, I think that is the biggest, I think I read this sometime, I think it's the biggest, as far as for Poles, Polish people, it's the biggest population of Polish people outside of Warsaw, if I'm saying that correctly. I'm pretty damn sure. So it would be nice to have somewhat regular shows, even three or four a year, that are like, have some meat on it or something like that. So however they got them in the door, it seemed like the tickets were priced correctly. However they got him in there, I'm very happy with that. I want to say that. As far as Usyk, you know, he does have a style that is crafty, obviously, right? He does have, I don't know, he definitely has a lot of technique. We've seen that on display, even at cruiserweight. And he did take on Bellew. Technically, Bellew, you know, was a heavyweight. Was he some huge heavyweight? No, of course not. But to me, like in the first couple of rounds, he did look, in throughout the fight, he did look a little slower at heavyweight. Chaz Witherspoon really hadn't you know, he hadn't really fought anybody at a high level in quite some time. And he was a limited guy, even in his quote unquote prime. But he wasn't known to have like really fast hands or something like that at heavyweight. Not that he's slow and overly limbering, but to me, you know, Usyk looked a little slow, you know, which that's really not a big surprise. You know, he put on some weight, put on some mass. You're probably going to slow down. You know, he's got really good timing, though, and I think that will help him out majorly, obviously. So he did turn up the offense somewhere in the third round because he had him a little, I don't know, maybe just unsteady. I wouldn't say full on hurt, but he did kind of turn up the offense a little bit with jabs and straight left hands, the left hook as well. He was throwing a lot of leaping right hooks, or I should say the left hand, but the right hook. He was throwing a lot of leaping right hooks, though. As the fight wore on, he got a little tad, just a tad arm punchy. You know what I mean? He did flurry in the sixth and seventh, though, and ultimately he got him out of the in the seventh round, right? Because he didn't, was it, he didn't answer the bell in the eighth round, I believe. You know, after that flurry, though, in the sixth and even in the seventh, he did look a bit tired. It was kind of like, huh, you really didn't go off that much, and maybe that's that extra weight and that's that adjustment and, you know, just the things that come with it. It's not an easy adjustment, but to put on weight and come out looking really sharp, we see it when people have problems losing weight and they end up, you know, rehydrating so much to where they come out a little flat. Now, I don't think he came out looking flat. I just don't think you can really take a whole lot out of this fight. I think having another camp, another fight at the weight class will help him. And then, you know, step up of an opponent will help him too. But how far are you going to step up Usyk before you put him in there with, let's say, the winner of, you know, Ruiz and AJ? If Joshua wins, that's probably a fight that will happen. That's a big UK fight now, too, because of what he did, you know, with Bellew over there, Usyk I'm speaking of. You know, it wouldn't be surprising, you know, if that's if AJ wins. If Ruiz wins, I wouldn't doubt if the WBO belt just gets, you know, left in the dust, so to speak. I really, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Just because of the PBC and the WBO non-relationship. I mean, sure, they had some of their fighters ranked, but we all know the WBO is with Bob only, or, you know, Warren and Bob only or whatever. So just like the WBA, you know, favor Hearn and Heyman, the WBC, Canelo and Heyman. I mean, you know, it is what it is. IBF, it's kind of on their own wavelength to an extent anyway. I wouldn't get too carried away with that, though, because I don't think that they have their crookedness, of course, but I don't know. To me, it just feels like he needs one more fight, two more fights, but I just don't know if he's going to get them, you know, and you want to, you know, if you sign these guys, you want to put them in with big fights. You don't want to get them beat before they get there, and you know, it is what it is. I don't know. I just thought he, I hate this. I don't think he looks flat per se, you know, I just don't think, like I said, I think he just looked a tad slow is what it looked like to me. But, you know, when it comes to timing, like I mentioned, the guy can time people, you know what I mean? So, and he's got a bunch of skills. We know that. He's even gotten into some tussles, inside fights, you know, with Breedis and others. And so in, what's his tells who moved to middleweight himself, Michael, for some reason, I'm just spacing that name, but you know, that actually was he was really trying to knock him out. Ended up doing it, but got hit a lot in the process. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of a work in progress. I'm not saying, oh, he needs at least 18 months, you know, nothing like that. But if he wants to look, let's say, his best when he does you know, challenge for a title or get a big fight, whatever that, you know, ends up being. I do think that, you know, another fight, another camp, at least one camp wouldn't hurt just to adjust your body. Like I said, it just, I don't know. And I don't believe, I don't really remember hearing that he needed, you know, he had problems. Usyk, sorry, I'm a little lost here. I'm answering some texts. So yeah, by the way, the switchboard's fine. Everything's up. I think people were calling in a little early. I can't even call 15 minutes and stay on the line before the show. So I think that's what it was, just so the people know out there. I really think that, you know, it's just one of those things. It's really hard to tell against, you know, this weight class, or not this weight class, but this opponent. We already know what Usyk can do in the ring, so that's not the problem. You know what I mean? So I don't know, but either way, like I said, I was very happy with the crowd there. That was pretty cool. You got to love that anytime you can draw a nice crowd like that. Especially, it's not like it was some big fight or something like that. And of course, to have Polish and local fighters help any card, right? But we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But either way, Jessica McCaskill, she won a really slow fight. The first fight was really fun to watch. Second fight, not so much, but she got a easy decision. So kudos to her. We're going to get into the Bochnik Better BF stuff. I'm going to give my preview and predictions. Like I said, if anybody online right now, you know, presses one, they can join in for the predictions or give their thoughts about anything they want. Someone dropped right there. It's only if you press one, I'm going to go to you. I'm not just going to randomly go to you. So call back. 646-381-4990 is the number to call. We do have some news and notes to get to. And then, like I said, we'll sink our teeth into this unification fight that I'm very excited about. We'll just get like the minor stuff out of the way. Basically a done deal for this fight, Daniel Jacobs and JCC Jr. For those keeping track at home, that's Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. This is going to be fought at 168, or will it be fought at Chavez weight? I don't know. No, it does look like he's been in shape, actually. This one's going to be December 13th on a Friday. It does seem like DAZN is doing some Friday cards. I know they had a Thursday night kind of figured out too, I think with Golden Boy, wasn't it? Kind of like a boxing after dark / showbox type feel card. I don't know. Hopefully they can pull that off at some point. Daniel Jacobs, Chavez Jr. It's a fight that's been rumored for a while. Like I said, it's basically done. It is what it is. We know Chavez was a free agent. We don't know for sure if DAZN signed him just yet. I believe they're going to. Kind of makes sense, right? Especially at 168. But maybe they're just using him for Jacobs to get on his good foot and win a fight and then move on and have Jacobs face Callum Smith or some of these guys, Billy Joe Saunders at 168. We'll see. But another fight that we knew that was already done, fight card, I should say, but it's now official for December 14th, the night after the fight I just spoke about. This one's going to be on ESPN, and it's also going to be after the Heisman Trophy ceremony. For those who don't know, the Heisman is the quote-unquote best player or most valuable player in the country for college football. This is the third time they've done it for ESPN at top rank, so it's been really awesome just based off that. It's cool that Crawford gets this good look now. You know, he got some exposure the week of his fight with Khan that helped him, I think, overall as far as profile. But we know that the actual fight didn't really do much for his profile. However, the fight before that last October, he did get that college football lead in as well. So it's nice that, you know, two out of his last three fights will be on regular ESPN in some of the biggest ratings, because they always usually grow on these ratings too. They did Lomachenko-Rigo last year. They did Lomachenko and what was it, Pedraza? Is that who got that? So that's really a good sign, man. I'm really happy to see that. So, but anyway, Crawford's going against Mean Machine, and they literally are just going right with the Mean Machine. That's his nickname. They have it on the poster. I believe they have it on the commercial. Maybe it's just like a quick, you know, I shouldn't say it on the commercial, because I haven't seen the full commercial yet. It'll probably be different. But yeah, they have the Mean Machine. They have it, the Mean Machine. You might as well, actually. Why not? It's like Mean Machine. That'll probably pique a casual fan's interest more than Kavalauskas, or however you say his last name. But the big one, in Michael Conlan returns too. You know, they're going to try to get that fight going on. I think it's, what, the rematch from the amateurs. So that's got some interest. And obviously to have Michael Conlan, who's Irish, on a card at Madison Square Garden, that's going to help a whole lot. But clearly the fight that stands out is Teofimo Lopez and Richard Comey. I cannot wait for that fight. That's a really, really good fight. Supposedly the winner will get Vasily Lomachenko. But Teofimo Lopez, he actually was on that undercard too. He was on that undercard last year of what I spoke. He was on the co-feature. He had that highlight reel knockout in this same slot last year. And, you know, recently outside of the ring, he's been having some issues, whether it was weight issues, trying to make that 135-pound limit, some other external stuff that we don't totally know all the detail with, but we'll see. He's been kind of up and down and all around lately after making, you know, a lot of noise the last, say, 18 months with these highlight reel knockouts. And he talks a good game too. He doesn't just talk it, he backs it up. Richard Comey has just kind of put his, you know, nose to the ground and just grinded his way all the way back. He has two very close losses to Robert Easter Jr. and Denis Shabakov. I did think that, you know, you could have probably gave him the Easter fight. I did think Shabakov barely beat him. I thought he beat him like 7-5 or something like that. Because remember, they fought in somebody's basement. You remember that venue? It literally looked like just a basement fight. But he just grinded his way back to a big, big fight. So I'm really happy for Gomez. And by far, this is, you know, Lopez's biggest test right here, Richard Comey. It's not even close. This is going to be a good, good fight. Can't wait for that fight. So that card is official, like I said, December 14th, ESPN. And that won't start as late as some of these other cards do on ESPN. So that's always a good thing, too. Got some sad news. Patrick Day remains in a coma after following a fight. From the weekend, he actually was knocked down in the fight, got up, looked clear-eyed. It was one of those things, again, where you just – it's tough sometimes to know when somebody shouldn't keep fighting. A lot of times it's like, hey, ref, stop the fight already, dude. This is getting – you know, this is not even fun to watch. We see those. Those are generally kind of easy to tell. Sometimes, you know, we talk about that fight got stopped too early. We see that in the UK a fair amount. But at the end of the day, I mean, a lot of times it comes down to the stakes. How high are the stakes in the fight? And unfortunately, but it's true. And if you're fighting or you're invested in it in any form, that's kind of how you'd want it, right? In a high stakes fight. If the fighter wants to fight, you got to let him fight. But as we know, a lot of these fighters don't know how to turn it off. So, you know, before we just scream to the high heavens of that was an early stoppage, what are you doing, ref? You know, we got to put this into frame and keep this stuff in our minds when we're thinking about this stuff. Or if you're out there calling fighters bums, and you know, they're scared of this, they're afraid of that, and you know, all this stuff that people like to just, you know, online, just keyboard warriors talking all this smack. But then, you know, we got a guy in a coma. So it can be really tough, though. It can be really tough. Sometimes it's pretty obvious, like I said. And there are early stoppages where you're like, dude, that didn't need to stop. That was dumb. So I'm not trying to say early stoppages, just never complain about them. You know, I'm not saying that. But you got to keep it all in reference. Keep it all in your mind when we're thinking about all this stuff. When you're ripping fighters for certain things that you can't do. And I'm not just talking about, it's like watching the NBA or NFL. Like, we can't do what's on the screen at that level, obviously. But you could still be like, dude, you needed to catch that ball. You know, that type of thing. I'm not talking about your run-of-the-mill debate or argument or, you know, critique. Or just straight up ripping somebody, right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, there's just some people, especially dudes, that are just like, they're such tough guys when it comes to watching a fight. And after a while, it's just like, you know, you're so worried about that. It's kind of like, we're going to talk about the Spence stuff. When you start seeing folks on Twitter start to worry about what's going to happen to the belts, what's going to happen to Spence's belts? Well, dude, let's get him out of the hospital before we start worrying about his belts. Okay. Can we do that? Can we get him out of the hospital? We don't even know exactly what happened that night, but yet people are saying this, that, and the third. And some of these same people did something like got a DUI or have drinking and drive before, or, you know, back in my heavier party days when I was in high school and a little out of high school, and sometimes, you know, in my 20s, basically my teens and 20s, you know, in high school, from time to time, I got to admit, I did drink and drive. Back then, it wasn't legal, but it was a lot closer, I guess you could say, to legal, because it was hard to get caught, and the punishment was easy. It just wasn't much. You'd lose your license for a little bit, you pay a fine, it'd be over. Your insurance would go up a little bit, but, you know, ever since they started changing the law and putting an emphasis on it, you know, it started making me go, huh, okay, I got to really put this in perspective, like you do with a variety of other things in your life. You start to make better decisions based off some of the mistakes that you either had to pay for, or a mistake that you made and you didn't have to pay for it. You didn't get in trouble, but you still learn from it. I'll admit, you know, to not drink and drive, I don't drink and drive. I haven't for years and years and years, decades we're talking about, but I have in my life is what I'm trying to say. And even though it was in a suburb and on roads that nobody was on and, you know, whatever, it's still counts, obviously. But I'm also not going to sit here and say the number one reason why I stopped drinking and driving was because of safety for myself and other people. Of course, that played a huge role, but I also didn't want to get in trouble. So sometimes we, you know, people can't really realize, and that's just one category. You know, people can have, you know, have mistakes and poor decisions and just be a piece of shit in other categories, just not this specific category. And we point the finger, but then you can point the finger at yourself, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, kind of long-winded there, sorry. I'll get to Spence in a second. Tyson Fury, you know, last week, Tyson Fury, it was kind of strange. It was like, okay, so let me get this right. So he's on the WWE. He was on the Friday, what was it, SmackDown. He was in the audience. Before you know it, he was in the ring getting kind of lifted up and thrown to the turnbuckle, really, right, I believe. And that was on Raw. Is that on Mondays? Raw, right? I don't know. But anyway, he was on the outside of the ring, then inside the ring. Now all of a sudden he's got a fight. Or a match, a wrestling match, however you want to say. We know you can get injured. He actually talked about this. You can get injured in this stuff. I mean, just what he was doing, getting lifted a little bit off the canvas, he could have hurt his back or something like that. You never know. But anyway, this Braun Strowman, the WWE Crown Jewel. This is October 31st in Saudi Arabia. It is official. Another boxing name goes to Saudi Arabia for a fight. So, you know, what does this mean? You know, overall, is he just trying to cash in? We talked about this last week, how, you know, I thought it was a really good idea, actually. I liked it. And in fact, although some of the interviews and attention Tyson Fury's gotten during fight week when he goes on ESPN and all that, that's been good. That's been a nice low profile boost a little bit anyway, but his actual ESPN Plus fights haven't drawn much attention at all. Viewership and whatnot, the cut got a little bit of height to it, but that's not necessarily the best height, right? But so I was actually quite happy to see him on these appearances because the peak numbers for these, you know, events do really well, these broadcasts, and why not? It happens, you know. I think that's a really good cross-promotion, right? But I didn't realize he was going to do a fight before it, or a wrestling match, whatever you want to say it. You know, he says he admits that, this is from James Slater, Boxing 24/7, Eastside Boxing. Tyson Fury admits his WWE debut could interfere with the Wilder rematch. Now, you know, he said, you know, he said it's a tough, what did he say? He admitted it. There's a hell of a chance that his wrestling gig could interfere with the agreed upon and signed rematch, you know, February 22nd with Wilder. He said, you know, it says it's fake, this and that, but this is the most physically taxing sport I've ever been involved in. It, I guess he might be paid up to $15 million for this. So that kind of shows you there. But he said, my first day of training opened my eyes, how athletic these guys are. They're always going to be injury and contact sports, but I'm not worried. I'm a born prize fighter who's been fighting his whole life. And I don't know. He also said there might be more in the near future. So let's just hope he doesn't hurt his back, right? Let's just hope he doesn't hurt his back or anything, you know, more than, you know, a minor little something, because that would really suck to lose a fight based off of a guy going into WWE. But if they're even paying him $5 million, that's big. But if they're paying him 10 or 15 mil, you got to do what you got to do. I'm not hating on him. I just hope he doesn't, you know, sustain any injuries that keeps him out. But like I said, I think it's a good thing for him. I do think these type of things help you cross over. It keeps you in the public. He could be just saying this stuff in general as far as, oh, it definitely could affect the Wilder fight, because then you get people talking. Oh, you know, Fury doesn't want the fight. I told you so, you know, because a lot of people thought, oh, Wilder doesn't want the Fury fight because he's taking the Ortiz fight. So, you know, maybe this is just, I'm going to make some money and I'm going to try to sell it like it's even more dangerous than it is. And don't get me wrong, you know, you can hurt yourself, obviously, especially when you're on tour. I mean, these people, they tour the country, the world, and they have a lot of events during a year. So you can definitely hurt yourself, no doubt about that. Speaking of hurting yourself, Errol Spence, minorly, as far as we know anyway, it's been pretty vague, the details, ever since his car crash. And like I said, it's almost been a week, because it would have been Wednesday night. If you're out partying Wednesday night, it'd be Wednesday night, not Thursday morning technically. But now we can say it because we know he's okay. But literally, Spence somersaulted his Ferrari. Like, it was horrific crash. I still can't believe it. And, you know, this is like the one time, I'm sure there's other cases of this too, but you know how they always say, you know, buckle your seatbelt, right? Make sure you're buckled up. It can save your life. And in so many instances, it has saved people's lives. I wear my, you know, seatbelt every time I go out, yada, yada, yada. However, in this case, in this scenario, I believe it saved his life that he didn't have his seatbelt on, because in the middle of these cartwheels, right, and flips, he got tossed out. Now, I don't know if he just basically curb smashed himself. I don't know that. Or curb stomped himself, and that's why he has broken teeth. They say he broke his teeth. Now, did he take some head trauma? Did he get, you know, did his head get hit? Did his jaw get hit? When I first heard teeth, I thought maybe that was a misprint and they meant broken jaw. So I guess he just landed, not perfectly, obviously, because he broke his teeth, but the guy's got money. He could get some fake teeth. You know what I mean? But we don't know. You know, we don't know if he's already, if he already went under and had, you know, the surgery to fix his teeth, and that's why he was sedated. It sounds like he was sedated. Maybe they were running a bunch of tests on him. You know, he did get airlifted right away, I'm sure precautionary reasons. You know, you're not supposed to move somebody after that without knowing what's going on. And here's another crazy thing. And maybe these people were drinking and driving. I don't know. But here's a car wreck, which obviously just happened, right? You could tell it's a major one. And you have a guy on the street laying there, and there's not one but two cars that went right by. They kind of halfway stopped. Okay, cool. I saw him move. I'll go. You know, maybe they didn't. I don't know. It's just crazy that you didn't stop and help. And the only thing you can think of is they don't want to get in trouble when a cop shows up. I don't know. Now, a lot of people thought, well, he's obviously drinking and driving, which – I understand why people think that. It's 3 a.m. He did. He was out partying, supposedly. I'm not on Instagram, but I go on there once in a while, or I get linked there, you know, once in a while by somebody, and to check out this video or whatever, or this post, you know. But I guess he did delete a bunch of posts from party, so. You know, a lot of people just assume he was, and he's going to get a DUI or DWI. I don't really know if that's true. I haven't heard the report just yet. Maybe they did a blood test on him, you know, and they're going to really find out, you know, how and if he was drunk, or if there was more to it. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was just driving really fast. There was something in the road. He swerved and lost control. It seems far-fetched without being some sort of, you know, intoxication of something, right? But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, obviously he made a poor decision to drive fast, but how many people have driven fast in their life? And then, first of all, how many people have driven a Ferrari in their life? And then the people that have driven a Ferrari, did you drive it slow or a Porsche or whatever? Did you drive that slow? If you're wasted, are you 9-3, 10-2, or are you thinking it's 3 a.m, there's nobody on this road, I'm just gonna go nuts? You know, I don't know. Either way, it was a poor decision, clearly, and he is very, very lucky to have his faculties in place, supposedly. It sounds like, you know, we don't have a lot of reports. In fact, I saw on Twitter someone say, so Spence, has Spence been released yet? This would be day 6. And I'm like, I thought he got released already. There's been a couple of conflicting reports when it comes to that. Maybe I'll try to narrow that down. But I could have sworn that I read that he did get released. Maybe I'm just wrong. I don't know. So, yeah, he dodged the bullet. Will he be ready for his January 25th fight? Without the details of what exactly happened, it's tough to say. I mean, he technically could if he's feeling up to it. They say he suffered some lacerations on his face, so cuts. Well, how deep were the cuts? Is he stitched up? Is he going to have to heal some of this stuff? Did he get hit in the head, like I said? Did he get hit in the jaw hard? Did he take any kind of blow to his body that would cause, say, internal bleeding or whatever? That's the stuff we don't know about. It will be interesting to see what the PBC does with that January 25th date, just in general. Maybe Pacquiao will fight on that date now. I don't know. Here's a tad bit of news in the same topic. Well, not the same topic, but potentially. It sounds like Floyd Mayweather Jr., is backing away from that Chinese exhibition. Now, the report, this is on BoxingScene.com, the report is he's eyeing the Pacquiao rematch. So maybe Spence isn't going to be able to make it, and they're going to do it January 25th. That could be completely far-fetched. I don't know. I don't think the Mayweather-Pacquiao rematch is far-fetched, to be honest with you, just because money. If you got that chance to make some money like that, there's always opportunity. There's always a potential for it to happen. I'm not putting the two together for sure by any stretch, because all we know is Spence busted up his teeth and he's going to fully recover. Now, when they say fully recover, what does that mean? The lacerations, how bad are they? Are they cuts that, you know, cut him all over his face and he couldn't even fight right now anyway? You know, he could have them all on his face. He could have them all by his eyes in numerous, you know, cuts. It's really tough to say right now. But like I said, I'm not putting the two together. And I don't think Mayweather backed away from the exhibition in China because of the NBA stuff, because of Hong Kong and democracy and freedom. And I don't think that's part of it. So rumor is he's maybe he was thinking, I'm going to stay in shape. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And now we got a date. Let's do it. I have no clue. I have no clue. Just reporting what I'm hearing. One more thing before we get to this weekend's fight. The California State Athletic Commission has ruled on something, and I believe it is a step in the right direction to an extent, especially for MMA. But they have a new rule that will be in place in 2020 at some point. Don't know the exact point right now. But on Tuesday, that'd be yesterday, the California Athletic Commission passed a rule indicating they'll cancel a boxing or MMA match if any fighter weighs more than 15% above the contracted weight on the day of the event. It was voted 5-0 during a meeting. And like I said, in the adoption of rules of dehydration and rehydration will officially be in place sometime in 2020. Now, here's a little bit of data to kind of give you perspective on it. The new 15% rule impacts MMA fighters more than it does boxers. And a lot of MMA fighters have a wrestling background and a grappling background of some sort, so meaning they had to make weight already, so they've been doing weight cuts, and sometimes they do extreme weight cuts even more. And a lot of times you had to make the weight on the date and wrestle 2 or 3 hours later. So they just are all over the place when it comes to that. But we know that they take huge, huge weight leaps. That's for sure. Drops, I should say. So this is for boxers, okay? 9 out of the 574 matches would have been canceled. So that's less than 1%, 0.015. For MMA, out of 274, 28 of them, 9.7, would have been canceled. Okay, now this is from January to October 2019 under the new rule. I say it's a start because obviously it doesn't affect that many fighters if it's less than 1%, you know what I mean? So I think it will help with the dude, you were 6 pounds over? Screw that, dude. You're not fighting, period. It's not up to whether the other fighter will allow it or if the promoter we'll put up more money to allow it or what. It's just done. It's over. No, dude, you can't come in 6 pounds over. You know, that type of stuff. I think that'll help in the boxing, you know, side of it. But so that's somewhat cool, but that's why I call it a step in the right direction, because it's not really, it's not a fix all type thing. You know what I mean? Not that there's one fix all type thing, if we're being honest, but like I said, it's a step in the right direction. So that's always a good thing in my mind. You know what I mean? I think that it has some legs. We'll see if, you know, we'll see if it actually does something there. As far as I think that about wraps up the news. The number to dial is 646-381-4990 for those who are on and want to talk. Press 1. If you're just chilling, chill. Don't worry about it. You can hang out. Oh, by the way, this is on Boxing Scene as well. There is a felony assault charge issued over that attack from the Shield, Clarissa Shields, and the, what is it, Hobson? The weigh-in. So, which is, you know, obviously a good thing, right? It is a very good thing that they're you know, they're charging somebody. And, you know, it did go down in my DM a little bit. I knew it would, based off my show last week. Some people just thought I was, you know, on the Clarissa Shields sides or something like that, which I clearly wasn't. But I'm also not going to sit here and blame Clarissa fully for this. Yeah, you have responsibility for your team. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. You know, responsibility starts at the top, right? That's how they say it. And I get it. So she does have some sort of responsibility because it was part of her, you know, team, her family. But as far as it's her fault, period, point blank, I don't see that, though, because she didn't do it. Nor was she in somebody's ear to do it. Now, maybe I'm actually not going to speculate like that. I was going to go even further. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe she did. I have no clue, but I doubt it. You know what I mean? And we saw so much of it on camera, except the actual attack, that my point is this guy wasn't a complete innocent bystander, and people made it sound like he was. And that was my problem. He's over there saying that he's going to hit a girl. And I understand the girl was very, you know, was in, you know, talking smack right with him in his face. He put his hand up a couple times and all that type of stuff. So to me, he initiated it just as much. And when people, you know, a lot of people, oh, he was, it had already been broken up and he was sitting in the crowd. It's like, dude, he wasn't just sitting there in the crowd, though. It had been broken up. That is correct. But the girl he was arguing with, saying he's going to knock out this chick, was actually being contained and not talking to him anymore. But yet he kept going. He stood up. He stood up a couple times and was talking smack to her, saying, hey, you're going to act like a guy. I'm going to treat you like a guy, basically. And I'm not saying, you know, females or males should go start a bunch of issues at a weigh-in, but we've seen a lot of jaw jacket at a weigh-in, obviously. This one just went over the top, and I do not condone what her brother did, or supposedly, allegedly, that her dad whispered to her brother to do. I don't know. There's been a lot of talk about that. We're going to find out if there's a charge. Well, at least there'll be a little bit more backup when it comes into all this, or background, I should say. But I'll stand with my stance. Like, the dude was not completely innocent. I know it sucks. It really just sucks because he broke his jaw and messed up his mouth, right? But if he would have just got hit in the face and nothing would have happened, it wouldn't have been nobody. It would have been like, hey, you shouldn't have talked shit. But dude gets seriously hurt. Then all of a sudden he gets completely, you know, completely erased anything he did. And to me, that was my point. I'm not going to just jump on one side. I'm also not going to say, hey, dude, you had it coming. Because I don't think he did have that coming. No, of course he did. But like I said, you know, he was antagonizing the situation. And he was not just chilling at the weigh-in, walk, you know, sitting down. He stood up. He kept barking. And, you know, it is what it is. Sorry to say it, but it's true. He's not 100% innocent. That was my home. That was my only point, that he wasn't just a bystander, that the way people were trying to make it seem like, oh my God, he was just sitting there. It had already been broken up. It had been broken up, but oh boy, it was still barking. So at a female that he said he's going to beat up and knock out. And like I said, you know, if people, you know, do act a certain way, you know, then, you know, there's consequences with that, unfortunately. And that goes both ways, too. That goes to the females barking, you know what I mean? Like, there's consequences to that, too. Like, if you are going to act like a quote-unquote guy and sit there and act tough like you're going to do something major to somebody, I'm not saying I'm going to hit a girl, but, you know, I've definitely seen it happen, unfortunately. So, yeah, like I said, it was just a horrible situation, and it just sucked that it happened. Just completely sucked, dude. That really sucked, man. But like I said, my whole point is he just wasn't completely an innocent bystander, which is a fact. That's all I'm saying. But that was pretty damn weak, to say the least. Okay, let's get into this Vorstik Better BF fight. I'm really looking forward to it, as you could probably tell. We'll start with the Better BF, because technically, as far as, I didn't realize this, but as far as the posters go and all that type of stuff, he is the A side. I didn't realize that. For some reason, I thought Vorstik was, just because maybe he's coming off a bigger win or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, well, really 2 wins ago. But, you know, Better Biev has kind of been like the hurry up and wait, like a movie set, like a commercial set. If you've ever been on one of those, it's like, hurry up, got to do this, got to do that, but we got to wait because they got to set that up. That's going to take 35 minutes, and, you know, it's a hurry up and wait. You know, he came on the scene early. He was being fast-tracked, and the guy was knocking everybody out, okay? I remember Taboris Cloud. He knocked him out, what, the fifth round or something like that? Maybe even less. I can't remember. Knocked him the you-know-what out. Took on a prospect, undefeated, knocked him out. Then Gabriel Campillo knocked him out. Now, I understand, you know, Campillo was on his last leg at that point. He was definitely, you know, definitely over the hill. But still, the way he was doing it, the fashion he was doing it, was just really impressive, dude. I was really impressed with that. Then came management issues for Better BF, and it took him, what, a whole year after? Oh, no, there was one fight after that. Then, yeah, it was he fought June 2015, and I believe that Campillo was on, wasn't that on the CBS afternoon show? Remember when they were doing that? I believe it was. I think it was. I think it was on the Stevenson undercard, if I remember. But he fought a couple months later against this Alexander Johnson dude, but then took a year off and was delayed. And he just ran into a lot of issues, a lot of management issues, promoter issues first and foremost. Then at some point he was released, if I'm not mistaken, from Al Haymon as well. Like I said, it was a hurry up and wait. It's like, this guy's ready to go. And the politics, the issues inside of boxing got to him. And I'm not saying got to him on a personal level, but he had momentum and it just fell off, basically. Almost 2 years ago, he did have a really good TV spot on the undercard of a Ramirez fight. In fact, his fight got a bigger rating because it was a lead-in. It was a college football lead-in. But he looked kind of crappy in that fight, then scored a knockout. Then there was almost another year before he had a fight. That was against Kalium Johnson, and he got knocked down, got hurt, looked like crap in that fight. Now, ultimately, he won by knockout. And I thought he actually looked really good against K-Rod, his last fight. I think he did. I think – or Hot Rod, K-Rod. Hot Rod. I don't know why I'm calling – I think his last name does start with a K, so there you go. But Hot Rod, I thought he looked really good in that. That was earlier this year. That was in, I believe, in May, right? So, you know, to have a fight, you know, it's basically three fights in a year now. So that's good. Get him on the right path, you know what I mean? So, you know, better Biev, big, big puncher. One of the biggest punchers out there, period, hands down. When he has you in a corner or on the rope, he can really put his punches together in a fluid fashion. But he has a lot of technical errors on offense, but especially on defense as well. He's just flat-footed. He's kind of stiff with his defense, kind of upright, and especially when he's going to be over-aggressive maybe. You know what I mean? And I could see him potentially, you know, falling in after punching and whatnot. Now, he has a huge amateur pedigree. Both these guys do. And like I said, on the fast track, if you get in the corner with this guy, he'll eat you up. And he definitely, I mean, even when he struggled in fights, you know, those back-to-back fights, basically, he kind of looked eh at times. So, I don't know, man. He's 14-0. It's 14 KOs, right? But he's 34, which obviously has to do, you know, with the amateur stuff. But then again, isn't Volshtik in his 30s anyway? I think it is, actually. Let me check really quick. I think he's 30 or 31 or something like that. So it's really, you know, I'm not saying it's a huge detriment. Maybe overall, he's 32. Yeah, I just think he's got a ton of power. Like I said, if you stand in front of him or he gets you trapped on the ropes, he's going to eat you alive. That's just what Better BF is going to do. Whereas Oleksandr Volshtik, he's a guy, like even in his last fight against Stevenson, and this is a different style. A lot of people are trying to do the triangle theory, the triangular theory, right? This guy beat that guy so he could beat that guy, which we know doesn't really line up. It comes down to styles. And obviously Adonis Stevenson has a complete style, you know, totally different style than Better Biev. Better Biev, is it? Better Biev? Better Biev? I can't. I've heard it like four different ways now. Used to be Better Biev right at the start. But as far as Volshtik, though, and just looking at some of the things he did in some other fights, right, but also the you know, Stevenson fight. Like I said, totally different style. He had to somewhat, I wouldn't say track down Stevenson because he wasn't a come-forward fighter the whole time. In fact, he was really, really patient, where although I think he'll be patient and pick his spots to an extent against Better Biev the way he did against Stevenson, I just think Better Biev will be coming to him, so he won't – he'll have a bigger – it won't be as low as the punch output, in my mind, just because Better Biev is going to make him throw more punches to keep him off him. You know what I mean? Whereas Stevenson was on the move a lot more. But both of them were moving. In fact – Volshtik, you know, he uses distance well, both offense and defense. He uses a little bit of angles. He takes like a half a step or a full step with an angle to get away. Then he, you know, bounces right back in. Good range finding jab. He throws a couple different types of jabs, but definitely a range finding. He'll definitely go to the body with it. He can kind of flick it, like I said, as a range finder, or like double and triple it. He doesn't fall in love with it like he only needs it to score punches. Like I said, it's more of a range finder that he can use it to set up stuff or to, you know, to win a round or whatever. But he's very patient. He's a very patient fighter. He's somewhat light on his toes. Good footwork, you know. Lateral movement, no doubt about it. He started using that more and more against Stevenson at times. Pivot, you know, pivot with that double jab or that touch jab. really good there. Like I mentioned, kind of has a low output at times. Now, when it comes time to finishing a fight, or if he thinks he's got a guy hurt, or he just finds openings, he'll put his punches together well. You know, he's just a little vanilla on offense with that low output. But like I said, I think he'll have to up his output because of better be his pressure. Went up close on the inside. He uses a high guard pretty well, I thought. He could time his right hand. I think that will be one of the biggest keys to the fight, that right hand and timing it and snapping it and pot-shotting with it and really trying to keep, you know, Better be of off him. I think that'll be key. That timing of the right hand will be key. In the end, though, I just think as long as Bushnik can stay off the ropes or stay, you know, don't be right in front of him, I think he'll win the fight. And I think he'll probably win it, say, 8-4, maybe 7-5, 8-4. But will this fight go the distance? I don't know, man. I don't think so. You know, Volchek should be able to outskill him on the outside. But like I said, it's going to be different because Beterbiev's going to come to him. And although that you can make an argument that sets up really well for him, because it does, it also puts the mental and physical pressure on him the whole time. And can he outbox someone with that on you the whole time? I think that's the difference. He did take on Yuriel Gonzalez a couple years back, Isaac Chalemba as well. So he's fought some solid vets. Before, even Baker to an extent, you know, before that Stevenson fight, obviously. But I don't know if we've seen, I don't think we've seen him have to outskill someone that applies that much solid pressure. I guess you could say Gonzalez does, and he's got good, you know, good power, and a lot of people thought he beat Pascal a couple years back. Now that I think about it, but I think Bushnik will win something like a 8-4, 7-5. But if Beterbiev, like I said, is able to wear him down, obviously going to the body for Beterbiev will be key, whether it's on the hip, whether it's to the liver, whether it's a little low, whatever it is, just keep going there. Now, you don't want to throw a bunch of combos down there because you'll probably get, you know, countered pretty well. And Bushnik can punch cleanly, and he kind of punches through you as well. Like I said, very fluid in his punching. It's a little vanilla, sure, but what he does really well. So if he can time, like I mentioned, that right hand, he could definitely hurt Beterbiev and stop him. Both these guys got a lot of power. I'm just really anticipating, like, what will happen when he has to move most of the fight in a manner of you can't just pivot or turn me a little bit. Not to sit there and say Beterbiev is like king of cutting off the ring without getting hit much, because he's not. You know, I expect him to get hit a lot. I expect him to take two punches to one to drop his one, sometimes three. It matters how cautious Bushnik is early on, but I'm going with Bushnik. I am going to actually go by decision. I could see a late technical stoppage, but that's about it. And right now I don't see anybody that wants to call in or that wants to call in, that wants to talk anyway. Some people are called in. If you want to press one, go for it. If not, I'll definitely shut this thing down. I'm just going to scan by real quick to make sure there isn't any kind of breaking news or anything like that. I'll talk about this when it gets a little closer, but Murata and Butler are fighting. There's a triple header. I think it's in Japan, December 23rd. That's a really good triple header. Murata and Butler, sure, but the other fights on there are pretty damn good. I can't remember. I just saw it really quick, actually. They were, shoot, I forgot. Well, and now it's starting to mess up. What the hell? So I guess Spence has actually, he has a message. Okay, so I guess Spence has a message here. Oh, it just says, no broken bones, I'm a savage. What? Okay, so, I'm sorry, this is so weird and vague, I'm live. But I'm just, let me see here. See, I'm not on Instagram, but you can go on Instagram to an extent. You know, like if you just type in Errol Spence Instagram. Let's see if he actually, because I thought it said he spoke. Yeah, I don't see it, dude. Yeah, I don't know. I do not see. So it's just that message. I thought he spoke. I thought Spence spoke. It says he spoke. I don't know. This is really great. Podcast radio, isn't it? All right, just one real quick thing just to make sure. Let's see. Yeah, I don't see anything. I don't see anything. Huh, yeah, oh, go figure, in a boxing scene forum, nothing comes up from the search. No way. Yeah, Motor City Cobra in the boxing scene said, Spence speak for the first time since his car accident. And all it says is, no broken bones, I'm a savage. This is 10 minutes ago. I still think there's a video, but I'm just not able to get it. I don't know what's going on, why it won't play or anything. I was thinking he actually talked, but I guess not. So that should do it for the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast for the week. We'll definitely be back next week. And, you know, last week was a little mild. We did have a mild little chunk of September before it picked up at the end of the month. But, I mean, November does need to improve on the schedule. Supposedly Showtime is still going to announce some fights. We know, oh, they did make that Charlo Hogan fight December 7th official. I forgot to bring that up. And I'm not mad at that fight like a lot of people are. It's, some of these people were pumped to see Charlo Munguia. And then, you know, and then he got, a lot of people thought he got beat by Hogan. Now he's fighting Hogan and people are dogging him. So it is what it is. But he could have just went to DAZN and be like Andre to get the Canelo fight. Forget it. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, like I said, besides November, although it's starting to fill up, you know, you do have Wilder Ortiz, obviously you have Canelo Kovalev. We're going to really close strong. We're going to really close strong. In fact, on the gruelingtruth.net, I just there's going to be an article for the third quarter, my third quarter review, heading in, you know, kind of previewing the fourth quarter as well. I've done a 1-2 and now a third, and obviously Fox clearly won the third quarter in July, August, and September. But DAZN's going to close strong. So it's Fox has 1-2 or 1-3. DAZN has 2 because of late April to early June run. And we're going to see on paper, obviously, DAZN has the best fights to close the year. We'll see what the PBC does for Showtime and minorly for Fox, although, you know, I think they only have one more card to announce. In December for Fox. So hopefully Showtime, you know, they got a good card, not this weekend, but next weekend. Even though there's been some injuries, it's still salvaged. So anyway, I'm going to get out of here. Enjoy the fights this weekend. Like I said, hopefully we get some more fight news as well, but this year is really going to end in a bang. I'll be back next week. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, when as you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, the bullshit, the whole bag, and when you come to a champion, like, you know what, I made it. That will show you it's business. So I'm gonna get every dollar worth.